So just imagine with me this morning, if you were sitting here and you couldn't hear anything. And this morning in the Sunday school class, the only way that you would have been able to understand what was being said is, imagine if you can't hear, you get good at reading people's lips. So in the adult class, the only way you would have been able to understand what was being said was if you would have been watching Johnny real closely. And when somebody gave a thought back behind you, I don't know if you would have heard anything. I'm not sure how it is when you're deaf. But there would have been a blank spot where you would have totally missed that. And if you're after the service this morning, you could either communicate in sign language with somebody beside you or maybe read their lips. I don't know exactly how that all works. But statistics say that 45% of our time that we're awake is spent in some kind of listening. And if I'm up here this morning for half an hour, unless you fall asleep, you'll listen to about 3,000 to 4,000 words that I say. And we listen at a rate of about 125 to 250 words per minute and think at a rate of about 1,000 to 3,000 words per minute. So maybe that's sometimes the reason that when we're listening to our wives give us a problem, we already have the answer before they're done talking, because we actually think faster than we talk. I did a little bit of research and came across a study that says there's about 72 million people that are deaf globally in the world. Somewhere else, the World Health Organization says there's about 430 million people that are deaf or hard of hearing. So that was probably taken, maybe some wives talking about their husbands in that survey. But there's 300 different sign languages in the world, and I have no way of knowing if these statistics are totally accurate, but 2% of the deaf community in the world doesn't know Jesus. And if they don't know Jesus, how do you communicate the plan of salvation to a deaf person? That you have to do it through sign language. But just to put it into perspective, if there is 72 million deaf people in the world, Tioga County, Pennsylvania is home to 40,000 residents. So that means 1,800 times the amount of people that live in Tioga County, which is where most of us live, 1,800 times that people in the world are deaf. Listening is an important part of life. We can't imagine what life would be like if we couldn't hear. We listen to instructions. We listen to WhatsApp messages. We communicate. It's how we go about life. It's if we can't listen, if we can't hear, we're severely limited. Sometimes when some people speak, maybe we don't tend to listen very closely because we don't respect what they have to say, or we don't value what they have to say. We think that what they have to say isn't very valuable. And then sometimes there might be people that whenever they open their mouth to speak, we pay attention, because when they say something, it means something and it's valuable. Sometimes with our children, we accuse them of not listening. And that's not really accurate, is it? Because a lot of times when somebody fails to do what was told to them, it wasn't because they weren't listening, but because they failed to obey. They chose not to obey, and instead. So just all this to say, or to kind of help us to go back again to how important listening is. Some of the things in life we listen to are of greater or lesser importance. I think probably all of us, if we think back over this past week, we heard plenty of things that were of non-importance. In other words, our life would be just as good off if we didn't hear some of those things. Some of those things are more important. And I'd like to talk a little bit this morning about when God speaks. And that is the most important thing that we can hear. And this week is our revivals week. And Marvin is traveling from Alaska to come and spend the week with us. And he's going to dig into God's word. He probably has already. Dig into God's word and prepare messages from God's word. And that is going to be God speaking to us this week. And what God says to me, and what he says to Andy, what he says to Kenton, what he says to any one of you, might not be the same thing. And it's important for us, each one of us, to listen to what God has to say. I'm gonna talk. I have a number of ways that God speaks to us. And that's going to be the main part of the message. But before we go into that, I'm going to have you help me out a little bit this morning. And I'd like to put up here on the board a list of people that God spoke to. And I'm going to break them into two groups. I'm going to group them into one group that was obedient and listened. They listened and they heard and they obeyed what God said. And then there's going to be another group that listened and heard and disobeyed what God said. So you be thinking of that. I'm going to start with the children, first of all. I'm going to give anybody that's in school, I want to give you a chance to give me somebody that you can think of that God spoke to. Moses. Cody. Reagan. Was he obedient or disobedient? I think that's a good place to put him. I heard somebody say Jesus too. Anyone else? Youth. I want a whole bunch of them up here. Samuel, where should he go? Keep talking. Noah goes where? Who was next? Disobedient. with six more disobedient. Disobedient or obedient? He could go under both columns, couldn't he? Okay. There's more, I'm sure. So, this is a list of people that heard God speak. And they heard a message from God. And they had a choice to make, and they decided what to do with it. And about half of them up there decided that, I don't like what I'm hearing, I'm going to do something different. And the others heard that same voice of God and made a decision that they are going to be obedient. And I don't think we have to think too hard to just envision the lives of those people and think about either the blessings they experienced because of it, or the consequences that they experienced because of the disobedience. And this week, not just this week, but especially this week, we're focusing on God's word to us, and God is going to speak to us. And just like these people here, we're going to have a decision to make with what we hear. We're going to decide either that, yeah, that's too hard, I can't do that, or it's going to take too much, or the cost is too high, I can't do that. Or we're going to decide, yeah, I need to change, or I need to do this, or I need to do that. And it might cost something, but it's a sacrifice that I'm willing to make in order to obey God. And God's word doesn't always come to us the same way. This list of people, Esther's name, am I missing something? Did God speak directly to her? I don't think so. That was kind of through Mordecai. Abraham, God spoke directly to him. Samuel heard the voice of God, but he had to listen to Eli and be obedient to Eli. Balaam came through a donkey. He did also talk directly to God. King Agrippa, God's message came to him through Paul's testimony. And I'd like to look at a couple ways that God speaks to us. I think I have seven. And some of these overlap just a little bit, but the number one I have is through his word. You can turn with me to Psalm 119. And verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And the whole Bible is full of principles that should guide our lives. 2 Timothy 3 says, All scripture is given by inspiration of God, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And there is probably, I shouldn't say probably, there is nothing that we can face in life that God's word doesn't speak to through the Bible. And sometimes I think that the older I get, the harder it is to make hard decisions. And should I do this or should I do this? And sometimes it seems like it's just difficult to make decisions. And I need to go back to God's word and just look at the principles that are there and allow God's word to speak to my life. The other way that God talks to us through his word is these people right here. And we can read the stories from little on up. We almost take it for granted. We probably, everybody that's in school, could tell you any one of these stories about these people. And God speaks to our lives through his word, through the stories of these people. And we can look at Nebuchadnezzar or Achan and see the consequences that happened to them because of their failure to obey God's word, and it can speak to our lives. You can turn to John 14. Verse 26. I'm actually going to start reading in verse 15. The first way God speaks to us is through his word. The second way I have is through the Holy Spirit. And this passage here in John 14 is through the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. And John 14:15, if ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall also live. And then dropping down to verse 26, it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And the Holy Spirit is the primary way that God speaks into our lives. And Jesus said that it's through the Holy Ghost that he's going to bring all things to their remembrance whatsoever he said. So the way I imagine that happening was as the disciples through the early church, as churches were established, and they were working through the hard things of knowing what to do about difficult situations and how to handle this or how to handle that. And the Holy Ghost brought things back to their memory that, remember when we were with Jesus that day and he said, so and so and so. And this could apply to, you know, those words applied to this situation. And he does the same with us today. And I'm amazed how often when I'm kind of maybe struggling with knowing how to feel about something, that something will come to my mind that Jesus said, or that, you know, from the Bible, something that kind of sheds some light onto what I'm facing. And that's the Holy Spirit that teaches and brings things to remembrance. There's another side of the Holy Spirit speaking to us that convicts. And that's when there's things in our lives that shouldn't be there. And the Holy Spirit is faithful in convicting us. It's God speaking through the Holy Spirit in our lives. This might be someone that has become a Christian, somebody that has a relationship with the Lord, but there's something there that shouldn't be and is affecting their relationship with the Lord. Or it might be someone that has never made a commitment to Christ, and the Holy Ghost can bring things to their remembrance. It can convict them. And it can help them understand that there is no way to heaven without a relationship with Christ or accepting salvation. The Holy Spirit also enables us to live above sin. It gives us power that we wouldn't have outside of Christ. And it's God speaking to us and gives us the ability to live out God's word and be faithful. And the one thing, sometimes, maybe just a little note on the Holy Ghost's guidance in our lives, there's some times that maybe we might be tempted to do the wrong thing, or we might listen to a voice in our head that isn't right. And the one thing to always remember is that the Holy Spirit never gives us guidance that is not aligned with the Scriptures. Turn with me to Hebrews 4. First way I have that God speaks to us is through His Word. Second way is through His Holy Spirit. And the third way I have is through Bible reading, prayer, and meditation. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And maybe at first glance, you wonder how this has to do with Bible reading and prayer and meditation. But when I think about spending time in devotions and spending time alone with God, as it were, I think about how that time of meditation and communicating with God should be a time when we allow that word to just divide between the soul and spirit, the joints and marrow. And it's possible for us to have kind of a warped perspective of ourselves. And we think we might be pretty good, and we're pretty quick sometimes to justify, well, I did this because, and I had a good reason for doing it. And when in reality, it was just our own selfishness and that caused us to do that. And in times of Bible reading and prayer, it's important that we allow God's word to kind of separate that. And to think through our actions and our motives and our intents, and allow what we read and allow to what God speaks to us to just kind of divide that and speak to us. And Curtis, you just didn't have the right intentions and the right motivations. And if we allow God's word to be quick and powerful and to discern between the thoughts and intents of the heart. And it's important to, when we spend time alone with God, that it is time alone. And sometimes with our busy schedules and everything we have going on, we can kind of shrink that time, and maybe we try to fit it in when there's some other distractions. But that time alone with God is when God can speak through us, just through our own thoughts. And they're not really our own thoughts, because I do really believe that God puts them there. And God, through the work of the Holy Spirit, can speak to us through these quiet times and these times of meditation and communication with God. When we pray, we not only talk to God, but we also should listen for His guidance. The Holy Spirit often brings us, helps to clarify things in our minds, and directs us, gives us direction through God's Word. It's a time when we can sort through our thoughts and our feelings and our motives and lay them before God. And I don't have the verse written down here, but one of the verses I had been thinking about when I was studying for this was that verse that in Psalms that talks about, "Search me and know my heart, see if there be any wicked way in me." Turn to 2 Samuel 12. God speaks to us through His Word, through His Holy Spirit, through Bible reading, prayer, and meditation, and He also speaks to us through other people. Second Samuel 12, 1 through 12. "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. And it did eat of his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take his own flock and of his own herd, to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb, and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will raise up evil against thee, out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and I will give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son, for thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." And this was after David had taken Bathsheba to be his wife, and God sent Nathan to David and said, "You go talk to David, you tell him this story." And we know the story. David repented, and he accepted the consequences for his actions. God often speaks to us through other people. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the body of Christ and how we all have a specific place in the body of Christ and how we help each other. And God works through, or speaks through each one of us to each other. God often speaks to us through other believers, whether it's a message or Christian friends who give us advice or input in our lives. And it is important that we always compare that advice or that input or that message from someone else with God's word to make sure that it aligns with God's word. Sometimes maybe it's harder to listen to God's word when it comes through other people, because so often other people are so imperfect. And it's easy for us to look at what they're saying and look at their life and think about how inconsistent they are and how imperfect they are, and use that as an excuse not to listen to what they have to say. And let's remember, that isn't necessarily failing to listen to that person. Maybe sometimes it's more of a failure to listen to what God wants us to hear. Wise counsel from other believers can sometimes confirm what is already some of the principles in God's word, and maybe give us some additional insights. And this week, I truly believe that God is going to work through Marvin to talk to us. And we are going to have a choice to make: that are we going to listen to what God has to say? Are we going to sleep through it? Are we going to leave any one of the nights and forget about what he has to say? Or are we going to listen and allow it to change our lives? You can turn with me to Romans 8:28. God speaks to us through his word, through his Holy Spirit, through Bible reading, prayer, and meditation, through other people, and through circumstances and open doors. Number 5, through circumstances and open doors. And Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. I think there's a lot of decisions that we can make in life that God will work with us no matter what we decide. And that's not an excuse to make wrong choices, but sometimes there's decisions that we need to make, whether it's maybe a young person is asked to teach school. Should they do it? Should they not? Is it the right thing to do? And maybe in a case like that, there's not a right or a wrong answer. But maybe it's more we need to consider what is God's will. And sometimes in situations like that, I do believe God uses circumstances to give us some, or open some doors that allow us to walk through. A little bit of our own experience, in 2004, we were looking to move away from where we were currently living downstate, and kind of for a number of reasons, we were looking to purchase a property in the Shade Mountain area, Snyder County, Union County area, and we looked at a number of places that would have been perfect, we thought, and nothing ever worked out for a variety of reasons. There was just, I don't know how many places we looked at, but there was just, things did not work out. And it just felt like a closed door. And partway through through that experience, we came to the cabin up in just west of here, Potter County somewhere. And we went to Liberty on a Sunday morning to church. And I remember talking to Wes that morning, and he said, "Hey, did you see this little log house that's available, or just went on the market or something down the road?" And, you know, at that point, we had been up here back and forth a little bit, but we had never really, I don't know, it just didn't really appeal to us that much. And I was like, oh, what the world, I'm going to reach out. And I I called Larry Connolly, probably the first time I ever talked to Larry Connolly, and I don't remember everything that happened there, but we looked into financing, we kind of went through all the hoops, and just everything fell into place. And we put an offer on the house, and Larry came back to us, and I still remember that. We made an offer for $170,000, and Larry came back to us and said there's somebody that offered more, and they wondered if we want to amend our offer. And we talked about it, and we just felt like if we're supposed to have it, they're going to take our offer. And so I called Larry back, and I said, no, I guess not. We're going to just keep our offer where it is. And he called me a day or two later and said they accepted our offer. And I still remember some of the feelings that went along with that, because we had been looking and praying for God's guidance, and it just seemed like there were closed doors time and time again. And this whole experience, number of other things happened over that time, and my wife and I often go back to that when sometimes we question why God, you know, has us where he has us, and sometimes we'll go back to that. And I think it is important that we don't put too much stock on circumstances or things that happens, but there is times when God can confirm that, yes, this is where I want you, through circumstances that happen. And over the years, and probably you can identify with me when I say this, over the years there's been plenty of times when there's been doors in front of me that I felt like I wanted to push open. They were obviously closed, and I wanted to just push them open. And the hard part is we can usually force doors open. So we can usually have a closed door, and if we want to be on the other side of that door, we can be there. And I would like to, maybe it's more of an encouragement to myself than to you, but let's make sure when God speaks to us through open or closed doors that we listen to that voice. The sixth point I have is through his creation. God speaks to us through his creation. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." And we're all familiar with the verses in Matthew 6, where Jesus was talking about the fowls of the air, the lilies of the field, how God cares about them, and God takes care of them. And that's a teaching for us to trust in God's hands, but it's also God speaking to us through his creation. And I think that God can speak to us in Tioga County a whole lot better than he can speak to someone in Lancaster County, but that might be just a little, that's probably not true. But one of the things I really do enjoy about this area here is just the nature and the way that you can get away from everything and enjoy God's creation and just allow that to speak to us. God speaks to us through his creation, revealing his power, his majesty, his divine nature, and nature and the universe around us are a testament to God's greatness and order. Connor has a telescope, and he enjoys kind of researching some of the stuff with the stars and planets, and I enjoy kind of hearing about some of that. And it is just amazing to me how they can just predict for hundreds of years when a certain planet or something is going to be in orbit. I think, was it Halley's Comet recently that you could see the tail, and I'm not sure if it was that one or another one that I will never see in my lifetime. I saw it that one time, and I'll never see it again. God speaks to us through his creation. You can turn with me for the last one. You can turn with me to 1 Kings. And 1 Kings 19, 11, and 12. I wrote the wrong verses down that I wanted to read. Okay, so maybe this was right, but, and he said, go forth, verse 11 and 12, and he said, go forth, stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountain and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And that was God speaking to Elijah through the still small voice. And that's where I have the final one. God speaks to us in a still small voice. Isaiah 30, verse 21, it says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And when I was thinking about this one, I was thinking about algorithms, and you hear a lot about that with YouTube, and how the things that you watch, that algorithm learns that and feeds you more of the same. And God had an algorithm long before there was YouTube. And one thing we need to be careful is in our minds, the things that we think about, the things that we feed on, we'll tend to hear more of. And I guess a challenge on this point is to make sure we listen to that still small voice, God's still small voice. And those may be the inner promptings by the Holy Spirit that we talked about. And they may be giving us guidance or convicting us of sin. It's often not an audible voice, but a deep sense of direction. And again, we need to confirm that this aligns with God's word in the scriptures. So this week and the weeks ahead, God is going to be faithful. He is going to speak to us. We're going to hear his voice in one of these ways. And I guess the question for us is, am I going to be listening? Am I going to hear that voice? Am I giving God an opportunity to speak to me, or am I too busy doing life that there's hardly an opportunity, there's hardly a quiet time for God to speak to me? When I do hear God speak, what am I going to do with it? Which one of these groups of people am I going to be classified in? And maybe another question to ask myself, am I allowing other people or other things to interfere with God speaking to me? And sometimes I think there's a tendency in our hearts, I mentioned it earlier, to look at other people and look at maybe inconsistencies or things around us that might not seem right. And we can allow that to interfere with God speaking to us. And I guess the challenge I would leave you all and myself is that we would be open, listening, and then being obedient to God's word. Let's pray.